Good day, brothers and sisters, and welcome to New Creation Realities. And we're going to continue with our series, Let There Be Light. Now, this is going to be part two because we've started a new semester. There you go. This isn't an official Bible class, but it's actually just a parallel class to my Berea classes. So, in a sense, it is an official Bible class. Anyway, I thought about it while I was going over my notes, and I wanted just to mention this. In case you were interested, and I can't remember if I've mentioned this before in previous lessons for this series, New Creation Realities, but I just wanted to read, the requirements for my class that I do with Berea, just so you can kind of get an idea of the heart behind what I'm presenting and everything. And so I have basically what there is to do in this class. And we'll cut the AC off here in a second because it is loud. So just during these lessons, what's the requirement? What is there to do on your part? And just, you know, in my own heart, I guess I like to convey kind of how the Lord has just kind of led me since actually before, during, and after Bible school. But basically, it's just this: jot down what the Lord puts on your heart personally during these lessons. Just, I could be sharing a paragraph of something, and if the Lord lights upon one little thing, that is what we need to jot down. That is what we need to take note of, because that is how actually the way the Lord is speaking to our heart. You know, just one thing here, one thing there, and then He puts it all together. All right. So out of a lot of what is shared, maybe the Lord just put something, just one thing on your heart. That's fine. That's what we're after. We're after hearing the voice of God and not the voice of man. And basically, my goal is that we would learn from God, because Jesus Himself said, therefore, if anyone has heard and learned from God the Father, he will come to me. This is what Jesus says. So that's my goal, for our heart to come in reality, if we're not born again, under the person of Jesus, and then in the knowledge of reality, if we are born again. Of course, this requires a miracle of God, a work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. All right. So that was number one. Just jot down what the Lord Himself, you know, lights upon during these lessons. Number two, read Theos Sparks's book, The School of Christ. If you don't have a copy of it, you can go to my website and download a PDF of it, crossideknit.com. You can download a PDF of it, and if you'd like a physical copy, I think you can go to theosandsparks.net and just request a copy. The reason why I mentioned this particular book, I mean, I've read a lot of Theos and Sparks. I've got a library of his. I've read a lot of Watchman Nee, a lot of Jesse Penn Lewis, a lot of Andrew Murray, a lot of Spurgeon. But from everything that I've read, and I know that the Spirit of the Lord has used everything that I've read, but the one thing that's had the most impact upon my heart, apart from the Scriptures themselves, is this book right here by Theos and Sparks, The School of Christ. And I think there was a time when I read it every year, and I probably read it about 5-6 times in a row. And I took it slow, just read it once a year, maybe a chapter a day, not a chapter a day, a chapter a month, excuse me. It's not light reading at all. And so if you don't have a copy of it, then I would recommend getting one and reading it. It'll really bless you. Let's see. Oh yeah, I just have, after each class, just jotting down the notes for that particular class that the Lord has placed upon your heart during that time. And then I just had, like, for the end of the semester, which I really don't require it, you know, during with the English lessons, to do a report, and it's basically just a summary of what the Lord has been putting on your heart, speaking to your heart about during each class. And I just like to see that progression and know. And if you are jotting down notes, or even just in your regular Bible reading, put a date on it. That makes a world of difference, just jotting down a date. All right. So let's go ahead and start looking at our notes. Let There Be Light, part two, first lesson, with the introduction and the testimony of Jesus Christ. And what I wanted to do, which I think our last lesson for last semester was like a week or two ago. We didn't actually start, well, the previous semester did start, but today I had my first class because they've been having internet problems. But I basically, what I'd like to do is do a very short review of our previous semester or our previous lessons from Let There Be Light in the part one. So with that, I want to begin with a pop quiz. And so here's the question. What is the importance of the scriptures, the Old Testament? What are the scriptures, or why are the scriptures important? And when I mean the Old Testament scriptures, I'm referring to Genesis through Malachi. Basically, what's the importance of these scriptures? Why are these scriptures so important? So I'll give you a moment or two just to jot down your response. Okay, time's up. So, and I've read those questions before in our previous lessons, and I've also given the response that the Lord has placed upon my heart. So here's the questions again. What is the importance of the scriptures, the Old Testament? Why are the scriptures, specifically the Old Testament, important? The responses, they testify of Jesus Christ. That's why they're so important. They are the perfect testimony of the only Son of God. All right, and I do say perfect because they are a perfect testimony, despite having an imperfect men giving that testimony. I mean, God chose men to give a testimony of His Son and corruptible man, and yet the testimony itself is incorruptible. The testimony itself is a perfect testimony of His Son. And so, what's so important then about this testimony? Well, the testimony itself is designed of God to, I'll use my own words, to prepare the ground of the heart, to direct, guide, and bring the heart unto the person of Jesus Christ. Okay? That's the difference. That's the difference between someone just sharing a class, or I'll just give this example, between me just sharing the class and you only hearing my words versus me or whoever sharing a class, a lesson or a sermon or a Bible conference, whatever, and you begin to hear not the words that are shared, but you begin to hear the Word of God, which is found wrapped up in that testimony of what is being shared. And see, the testimony is designed of God, once again, to direct, guide, bring unto the person of His Son. That is the end goal of the testimony. Now, the end goal of a preacher, a teacher, or a minister may be for you to learn their material, and that's fine as long as the Holy Spirit can use it. But the end goal of the testimony, and I would say of the Holy Spirit as well, is to bring the heart unto the person of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Unto the person. Not unto the teaching, not unto the message, not unto anything like that, but unto the actual person, brothers and sisters. Because we who are born again, we were not birthed of a teaching. No. God did not send a better teaching. God did not send a better message. And actually, if you think about it, the teaching of God is His Son. The message of God is His Son Himself. God sent His Son. All right? Okay. So that's why the scriptures are important, because within them there is found the testimony of Jesus Christ. In fact, let's go ahead and read that passage. This is John chapter 5, verse 39 through 40. And basically, I'll ask this question before I read that verse, because the question itself may offend you, but it's with a point. It's with a reason, okay? I don't ask this just to ask this. Okay, here's my question. Is Jesus a liar? Yes or no? All right. Now, I know you're born again, and you're probably going to say, well, of course he's not. Yes, that is correct. He is not a liar. In fact, taking it one step further, he is the truth. He himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, brothers and sisters. And I say that to stir our hearts for the following. This is what Jesus says. This is Jesus' words himself concerning the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures, okay? This is what he says. John chapter 5, verse 39. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. Now, he's speaking to the Jews at that time, but basically it's for anyone who searches the scriptures or reads the Bible, basically. And specifically right here, it's the Old Testament scriptures. And he goes on to say, concerning the scriptures, and these are they which testify of me. Now, since we have already established that Jesus is not a liar, then what he has said is true. The scriptures, which is Moses to Malachi, the Old Testament scriptures right now, that's what we're looking at, they testify of him. Nothing less, of nothing else. God gave the scriptures for that one singular purpose, to testify of his Son. God created a creation to testify of his Son, even a natural creation. God created man to testify of his Son. I mean, everything that God has done is to testify of his Son, so that God could present not just the testimony that he's already presented, but the actual person of his Son himself. The testimony prepares our heart for an encounter with the living God. That is it. It prepares the ground of our heart that we might be brought by the Spirit with a face-to-face encounter with the living God. God always does this. He has to do this. No man can do this. It's impossible with man, and it will forever be impossible with man. Okay, so I've got a little note here that says over on the other side, so I'm going to have to read this other page right here. Oh, okay. So, because Jesus says that the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures, are the testimony of him, therefore, listen to the following statements. Everything and anything that Moses wrote, inspired by the Spirit of God, Moses testifies of Christ. Everything, anything that is found in the Torah, the first five books that Moses wrote as he was inspired by the Spirit of God, testifies of Christ. Any prophet that wrote anything that is found in the scriptures, inspired by the Spirit of God, what is found there that they wrote testifies of Christ. King Solomon, in all his wisdom given of God, anything and everything he wrote that is found in the scriptures testifies of Jesus Christ. Anyone who wrote anything of history, the historical books that are found in the scriptures, inspired by the Spirit of God to write them, to jot it down as scribes, as historians, if it's found in the scriptures, that is the Old Testament, it testifies of Jesus Christ. Now, I know that we struggle with that. We do. Because, listen, it requires a miracle of God to see the testimony of Jesus Christ that is in the scriptures. In fact, I would say that the testimony of Jesus Christ is hidden from the natural mind of man. It requires a miracle of God for there to be the light of the testimony. The scriptures, they testify of Jesus. That testimony is a light. We've already covered this. It is a light. Lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path with purpose. Like Jesus speaking of the Holy Spirit, he says, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. Well, we've just gone over that Jesus is the truth. So the Spirit of truth guides our heart into all truth, or I'll say it this way, into all the fullness of truth who Christ himself is. It's a good way of saying it. Okay? And I'll admit, there's passages in the scriptures where I'm just reading and I'm thinking, I don't see Jesus there. I don't see the testimony that is there before my face. I don't see the testimony. And so I continue reading until the Lord performs a miracle, prepares the ground of my heart, listen, so that I may be able to bear the truth of the testimony. That I may be able to bear the light of the testimony. And so then that light of the testimony, what is true of the testimony, is also working in the ground of our heart. The Holy Spirit always working behind the scenes to prepare our heart, the Holy Spirit, to bring our heart that we may have a face-to-face encounter with the person himself. So at that point, it's no longer the picture, it's no longer the testimony, it's no longer the type, the shadow, but it's the actual person himself who is present, who has been present since the moment of new birth. All right. Back to John chapter 5, verse 39. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. And now verse 40, he gives the purpose of the testimony right here. But you are not willing to come to me. There it is. The purpose of the testimony, that a heart, that a soul may come unto the person of which the testimony, of which the scriptures testify. So ultimately, I'll just give an example. Ultimately, if we are looking for love in the scriptures, and the Spirit of God has been working upon the ground of our heart, and we have let down our big stop sign that says, oh, I know it, I know already, and we let that stop sign down and confessed, no, I don't know. I, by my ability, by my mind, the natural mind, I don't know. Then the Spirit of the Lord will lead us to where we find love in the scriptures declaring the person of love. We will find the testimony of love, who is Christ, in the scriptures, to prepare the ground of our heart, to birth an expectation in our heart to come face to face with the person of love himself. Far beyond our concepts, brothers and sisters, far beyond our concepts. And I'll just state this. In reading the Bible, and I think I stated this in our previous lessons, but in reading this Bible, in reading the scriptures, we are not getting smarter. Well, we may be getting smarter. The natural mind will get smarter. Okay? But Paul says it this way, you know, you guys are all puffed up. Kind of like a big old mushroom head of natural knowledge that doesn't lead unto Christ, the knowledge of God. You know, ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth. Ever learning, that's the natural mind. Ever learning, ever learning, ever learning. And yet the Spirit of God, working behind the scenes, preparing the ground of our heart so that, listen, we may hear and learn from God. Because when we hear and learn from God, without doubt, our heart comes unto the person of his Son. Once again, Jesus said, therefore, anyone who has heard and learned from God the Father comes to me. This, my brothers and sisters, is what we are after. In fact, I would say this is what God is after as well. All right. Let's see, where are we? We're kind of jumping back and forth, but that's all right. Okay. So I read that, read over there. So back to up here. All right. They testify, the scriptures, the Old Testament, they testify of Christ. Okay. Now, because the scriptures, specifically the Old Testament, are the testimony of Jesus Christ, they declare the full counsel of God. The full counsel of God is his Son, Jesus Christ. And I know that's hard to wrap our mind around. In fact, the natural mind cannot wrap around it one bit. The natural mind cannot even conceive of the simplicity of Christ. Cannot. No, the natural mind is a complex, rusty machine that runs on synthetic oil. That's what the natural mind is. Not so the mind of God, the eternal mind, the mind of Christ. All right, so because the scriptures, the Old Testament, they are the testimony of Jesus Christ, they declare the full counsel of God. And the full counsel of God, brothers and sisters, is very simply put, Jesus Christ, his Son. That's it. But we don't want to accept that. But yet we've already read and heard that Jesus himself says, you search the scriptures because in them you think you have eternal life. And they, the scriptures, are they that testify of me. He said it. He said it. At some point we have to come to confess, Lord, God, Holy Spirit, Jesus, I don't know. Confess our ignorance. And in fact, that's actually one of the wisest prayers we can pray, because one of the wisest men on the earth prayed it, Solomon. Lord, thy servant is but a child, and I know not. Now he goes on with that sentence, but he confesses his ignorance before, listen, the omnipotent, the almighty. All right. Because the scriptures, the Old Testament, are the testimony of Jesus Christ, they declare, we already looked at the full counsel of God. Now, we're going to look at, they declare the mystery of God. And brothers and sisters, the mystery of God is Christ Jesus, his Son. That's it. And it is a mystery to the natural mind. The natural mind can't conceive of it, because all that the natural mind could conceive of is the following: peoples, places, things, times, events, etc., etc., etc. Plurality, multiplicity. But God is very singular. Masculine, singular, his son. So once again, because the scriptures, the Old Testament, are the testimony of Jesus Christ, they declare the mystery of God, who is the person of his son, in peoples, in places, in things, in times, in events, etc. If our heart is submitted to the natural mind, then when we read the scriptures, we are actually looking for peoples, places, things, times, and events, and not looking for his son. Oh no, we'll say we're looking for Jesus, but what we're doing is we're using Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as a means to our end. And God will not allow us to use his son like that. So all we end up with is something that's less than Christ. And see, here's the thing, even with my diagram right here, we've got a believer, a born-again believer. Christ is in their soul. And because Christ is present, their soul is now found in eternal life, salvation, resurrection, in everything, because their soul is found in Christ, because Christ is present, right? But the believer, from the beginning, the moment of new birth, the believer, the heart of the believer is still submitted to this natural mind. Okay? So we, with a natural mind, read the scriptures, and all we get out of the scriptures is peoples, places, things, times, events. Because all we see, and get this, all we actually see in the scriptures is our own face, the face of man, the face of humanity. Because we are looking into a natural mirror, or we have a natural mirror. And there's no light there, brothers and sisters. We look into the scriptures, we see our own face, that's a natural mirror. That image, brothers and sisters, is a corruptible image. It is. This natural body of corruption, I mean, it's, what is it? The earth, from the earth you came, dust you came, the earth you will return, dust you'll return. You know, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. It takes a miracle of God for there to be light. And I would say that the Spirit of God is working behind the scenes, even when our heart is submitted to the natural mind, reading the scriptures, our natural mind, while reading the scriptures, pulling out our concepts of what we have read, our idols of what we have read, our thought concerning God of what we have read with the natural mind. But see, God knows, except he perform a miracle, then we continue as always, just the same. No different in knowledge than what we were before we were born again. Though everything has changed the moment of new birth, yet in our hearts we are ignorant of this great eternal change. And so the Holy Spirit is working behind the scenes to lift the eyes of our heart, to direct our heart unto Christ, so that, listen, there may be the light of the testimony. And then all of a sudden, now we began seeing Christ in the scriptures, and you are literally seeing Jesus in the scriptures. And you can, I confessed it myself. I declared, I see Christ. I've seen Christ, and I could show where I've seen him in the scriptures in passages that no one was sharing with me before, not even in Bible school. And yet, That light, brothers and sisters, is the light of the testimony, which in Psalms we've read several times in our previous lessons, a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path, to bring our heart, to guide our heart unto the true light, the person of Jesus Christ himself. He says, I am the light. This is what Jesus said. And so the testimony is indeed a light, but it's a light with purpose to bring, direct, guide, and bring unto the person of the light himself, Jesus Christ. See, light is not like, oh, well, I've got light on the scripture now. I've got knowledge on the scripture now. No, that's not light. That is man's natural mind, which God calls darkness. That's what that is. That is gross darkness, brothers and sisters. When there is light, the light of the testimony, then we are seeing the true image of God in the scriptures, who is Christ Jesus himself, the express image of the Father, the express image of glory. All right? This is when our hearts are looking into the scriptures and seeing the eternal mirror of God. And it is not I, not my, not me, not we, plurality, but Christ whom we are beholding in the testimony of the scriptures. And once again, that testimony serves purpose. It is designed of God to bring unto the person himself. And that is the end goal, a face-to-face encounter with Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Because up until that point, brothers and sisters, then our heart continues up and down and up and down and up and down, and it will. I know my heart would and does. It will. Until we come face-to-face with the person of our life, who Christ himself is, then we have this concept of what we believe to be our life is when it's not. All right. Going on. Oh, yeah. I did that. And it goes back over here. And it goes back over here. It is not an issue of learning things, not on during a Sunday service, not during a Bible class, not during a Bible lesson, not during a Sunday school lesson, not during a Bible conference, not during an evangelistic campaign. Brothers and sisters, it is not an issue of learning things. No, it is not. I read several years ago, I can't even remember what book by Sparks, but basically what he was presenting is very true, and it just really stuck with me. But he said, now if we go and listen to a person, a preacher, and we come away with, oh, that was a great Bible teacher, or oh, that was a great Bible preacher, then we've pretty much gotten nothing out of it. But if we go away with the thought, oh, what a great and awesome Christ we have, then we have gotten something. Do you see? With God, it's not about people's places, things, times, events. No. No, he uses people's places, things, times, and events to testify of his Son. With God the Father, it's all about his Son. It truly is. I mean, it really is. I've said this before. It is really all about Jesus. It is. More than what we even realize. This is the simplicity of Christ. And we just don't see it that way because our hearts are submitted to a natural mind. So therefore, we think it's all about peoples, it's all about places, it's all about times, it's all about events, it's all about this, it's all about that, it's all about me, it's all about you, it's all about us. No, it's not. Remember, Jesus is not a liar. We read it. He himself said, John chapter 5, verse 39, jot the verse down, look it up in your Bible, read whatever translation you want to read, because he doesn't change what he says. He says, the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures, they are they that testify of me. So once again, if you're reading anything of the first five books that Moses wrote, the Torah, the Pentateuch, then it declares Jesus. Whether you realize that or not, it declares Jesus. And see, that's the thing. Because we don't see it, we think it declares something else. But just because, brothers and sisters, just because we don't see the testimony doesn't mean that God placed the testimony hidden in the scriptures. That's why I say it requires a miracle of God to see the testimony of Jesus Christ in the scriptures. It does. It does. No, man cannot attain to such wisdom. Man cannot attain to such knowledge. Man cannot attain to such understanding. Man cannot attain unto God. Our hearts will either be submitted to the natural mind, the mind of the first man Adam, like everybody else, or by the work of the Holy Spirit, a miracle, God having performed a miracle in our heart, our heart will be submitted unto the mind of Christ. And we will confess, like the holy choir, the angelic choir, it's all about Jesus. That is very simple. God made it that way. And yet very profound. All right. Going on. Not an issue of learning things. God did not send us to know things. Oh, that word is actually save. God did not save us to know things. No. He didn't birth us anew, cause our soul to be born again, so that now we can, okay, now here's your study manual. Now you have to read this and learn this and obey it. No. No. He saved us to know his Son, the very person of our salvation. Okay? To learn Christ. And once again, brothers and sisters, this is eternal life, that they may know the one true God and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. This is Jesus' words. But this requires a miracle of God. Man cannot do this. Impossible with man. All right, so back over here. Because the scriptures, the Old Testament, are the testimony of Jesus Christ, they declare the mystery of God in peoples, places, things, times, and events. So then we can look at, for example, Moses. He was sent of God. Oh, here we go. I'll have to use a different diagram. Luckily, I've got it behind me. Okay. So here we have Moses, right, who was sent of God to deliver a people from Egypt. Egypt, which represents the abode of the dead. So Moses isn't just this great character that we read of in the scriptures. Moses is actually a testimony of the only begotten Son, who was sent of the Father to deliver a people out from among the dead, which he did. In the book of Judges, it says God raised up judges, and each judge, with their flaws as they had, regardless of their flaws, God raised them up with a purpose to testify of his son. One example, Samson. And you're thinking, oh man, what a wreck. Yes, what a wreck. God takes humanity, which is a wreck, has no life whatsoever, yet compares itself with itself, right? And yet, according to God, it doesn't have any life at all apart from Christ. So God takes humanity to testify of his son. So here we have Samson, who declares, let me die with the Philistines. And then later on, we read the Apostle Paul declaring, he says, therefore, when one died, all died. And in fact, that was the confession of all of Egypt when the lamb was slain. Their confession was, we be dead. If one died for all, therefore all were dead, having no life whatsoever. He died for all, because all had no life whatsoever. And he became the door that whosoever will might receive life. And so I end back again with the testimony that's found with the person of Samson. What does he tell the young lad? Take me to the two pillars. And then he destroys the temple. He completely destroys the temple and all that are found within. And here you have Jesus saying, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Now, of course, he's speaking of his own body, because we continue to read on with that. The Old Testament is a perfect testimony of Jesus Christ, found within peoples, places, things, times, and events. He even tells Abraham, now, according to the time of life, I will return and Sarah shall have a son. Well, what is the time of life except the person of Jesus Christ himself? In the Garden of Eden, was it just some place? No, the Garden of Eden represents a perfect, harmonious communion with God that is only found in the person of Jesus Christ. Apart from him, brothers and sisters, we have no communion with God. Jesus himself is our communion with God. He is our fellowship with God. He is everything, brothers and sisters, more than what we realize. Apart from him, there is nothing. Period. Okay. So going on. Let's see. Went there. Went back up here. I'll continue reading. All right. Because the scriptures, the Old Testament, are the testimony of Jesus Christ, they declare that one was coming. And we probably looked at all these verses. And in fact, like I said, this is just a short review to kind of get our hearts ready for this next semester of lessons. So they declare that one was coming. It's like if you're reading the Old Testament scriptures, it's basically saying, he is coming, he is coming, he is coming, he is coming. This is Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And this is basically after man sinned and God comes and settles things. Verse 15. And I will put enmity between you and the woman. Speaking to the serpent. But he says this, between you and the woman. He goes on, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. And I love that, how he states that, enmity between you and the woman. I want us to look at Luke Luke chapter 1, verse 30. Now, he didn't say enmity between you and Adam, but the woman, okay? This is Luke, whoa, in chapter 2, how did I get there? Luke chapter 1, verse 30, let me get there again. Now, of course, this is when the angel appears to Mary, and this is verse 30. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." Wow, there you go. There's Daniel, the book of Daniel right there, and Isaiah. All right, now verse 34. Now here we go. Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" Basically, this one is sent of God, whose father is God, not the first man, Adam. Completely other, not corruptible, but incorruptible seed. All right? Verse 35, "The angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God.'" And not just like Son of God as a title that all the kings, including David afterwards, had as a title. No, no, no. Like the actual Son of God, like the person, the real Son of God himself, not a person who bears that title, like king. No, no, like the actual Son, whose father is God himself. And see, that'll offend the natural mind for sure. It sure offended the Jews, you know, when Jesus shows up and says, "I am." You know, that just, you can't, with the natural mind says, no, you can't say that, except that he is the only one, my brothers and sisters, who could. I love that, our Lord. He is more awesome than what we realize. All right, let's see if I've covered or haven't covered or what I've covered. Okay. Oh yeah, I didn't touch on the passport. Yeah, I'll use that as an example. Sorry, I missed that one. I've got like little highlight colors. But back to the, because the scriptures are the testimony of Jesus Christ, that is the Old Testament is the testimony of Jesus Christ, they declare the mystery of God in peoples, places, things, times, and events. Okay. We actually looked at that in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 through 4. But what I've got here is my passport, basically. See, there it is. Here's my passport, right? And in my passport, it has all this information about me. I mean, it is accurate information. It is government-issued information, all right? It shows, it bears, listen, my image, not anyone else's. That's why when the border patrol coming into the U.S., that's the first thing they want to see. They look at the picture, then they look at you, then they look at the picture. It's like, okay, this is the person. It bears my passport. My passport bears my image. It shows, declares what I look like, where I live, my country of origin, that is where I came from, my citizenship, where my home is, and it also declares where I have been. Wow. What a natural testimony of a person. And yet that falls so short of the testimony of Jesus Christ with our other diagram that is found in the scriptures. And once again, the testimony, my brothers and sisters, is hidden from the natural mind, the mind of the first man, Adam. Hidden. You, nor I, nor anyone else, whether born again or not, can pull Jesus out of a hat. What I mean by that is that we can't just go to the scriptures and say, look, here's Jesus. No, you cannot do that. Man cannot do that. The natural mind cannot do that. It requires a miracle of God. Because when the Spirit of God has worked upon the ground of your heart, and then the Lord reveals the testimony of His Son, all that you are left with, my brothers and sisters, is a heart of gratitude and of thankfulness unto our God for what only He and He alone could, can, and could ever do. No man, no flesh will glory in His presence. Period. All right. We read that too. Going on, we read that. Okay, let's see. So they declare that one was coming. And here was one of the testimonies that were declared that declare that one was coming. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15 again. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. And I know that Paul actually specifically mentions it of Abraham, and to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. Seed, that is singular, seed, singular, not plural, specifically the seed who is Christ. The exact same here, brothers and sisters. And your seed and her seed. No origin, no source of the first man, Adam, but God the Father, the seed of God the Father. All right. So because the scriptures, the Old Testament, are the testimony of Jesus Christ, once again, they declare the full counsel of God, leaving nothing. It's all there, hidden, found in the scriptures. It requires a miracle of God to see it. They declare the mystery of God, who is Jesus Christ, in peoples, places, things, times, and events. They declare that one, the Son, was coming. Okay. They declare that the one who was coming, who was to come, this one, we should hear Him and receive Him. And I've got a slew of verses there. Genesis chapter 49, verse 10 through 12, Deuteronomy 18, 15 through 19. And I'm not going to read all the rest of them because we've already read them before in previous lessons. Remember, this is just a short review. Actually, I think this first lesson is just straight up a review. You know, that's all right. Okay. So they declare the full counsel of God, who is Christ Himself, the mystery of God, who is Christ Jesus Himself, the Son of God, the one that they declare that one was coming, and they declare that the one who was coming, we should hear Him and receive Him. Okay, now, we have looked at the Old Testament, the testimony found in the Old Testament. Now, with this semester, we're going to begin looking at the New Testament a little more. Of course, we're going to still be looking in the Old Testament, but it's more an emphasis on the New Testament. And listen, this is John chapter 1, verse 11 through 13. But gosh, just listen to what this says, verse 11. He, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the only begotten of the Father, the Logos or Logos of God, He came to His own, and His own did not receive Him. Requires a miracle of God, brothers and sisters. Where do we find at least one of these testimonies of this very thing? With Joseph. I mean, the father loved Joseph more than all the rest of the family. And then there comes a time when the father sends Joseph, his son, unto his brethren. And it says that his brethren hate him. They envy him. Well, let's just go ahead and read it just so we can get that pictured. This is Genesis chapter 37, beginning with verse 3 to verse 4. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. And I would say that probably required a miracle of God. Also, he made him a tunic of many colors. Okay. Verse 4. But when his brothers saw their father, that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak to him peaceably. Now, what does that sound like to you? That surely is when Jesus of Nazareth, when he walked among men, you know, when God the Father sent his son among men, he came to his own. Here we go, the verse again. And his own did not receive him. They rejected him. But see, that's just normal, brothers and sisters. Just like what I've been presenting with these passages in the scriptures, where Jesus says, the scriptures, the Old Testament, they are they that testify of me. And yet, because we don't see the testimony, we start with a natural mind and we start saying, well, how can this be? It can be because it is of God. But we can't wrap our natural mind around it, remember? The natural mind cannot attain unto God, cannot attain unto the things of God, cannot attain unto the testimony of God. Can't. It's like the Tower of Babel. You can try and you can, with group effort, give it all you got, and you still cannot reach the heavens. The natural mind, the carnal mind, is enmity. Like this. Because God says one thing, and our natural mind says another. Our natural mind says 1 + 1 = 2. And yet the eternal mind declares, I and my Father are one. And we can't get that. Here we go. With a natural mind. Impossible. All right? So verse 11, he came to his own and his own did not receive him. It requires a miracle of God, brothers and sisters. And I'm not here to, you know, argue with anyone. I know it myself. I argued with the Lord. I wrestled with the Lord back and forth, you know, until he wins out in the end. He always does. You know, you're not stronger than the Lord. No, the Lord will take you down. He'll take your little mind down as well. Okay. So you're going to struggle with this back and forth, you know, because we may be looking for stuff in the scriptures, but if we're looking for stuff in the scriptures, that being people's places, things, times, and events, then that is once again, gross darkness. There is no light when we're reading the scriptures. The light is found within the scriptures because the light is the light of the testimony, which testimony God himself must reveal because it testifies of the person of his son whom God himself must reveal. Just because you don't see it does not mean that it's there and that it's true. Remember what Jesus said, they are they that testify of me. And as I mentioned just previously, we will wrestle with God over that. We will wrestle with him just like Jacob did during the night. It says Jacob was left alone. Yeah, this is a one-on-one. Jacob was left alone and he wrestled with a man. And he's just, bless me, bless me, bless me. And we, as born-again believers, we come with a natural mind. We come with our heart submitted to a natural mind and say, bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me. Completely ignorant that God, in his tender mercy and ever-abounding grace, has given unto our soul at the moment of new birth the eternal blessing. And we want something less? But God knows that. He knows that. He knows that apart from him performing a miracle in our hearts, then, I mean, we cry out for less. You know, just like the children of Israel in the desert, Give us something to eat. God gives them manna, bread from heaven. And then they loathe it. They get tired of it. All we have to eat is this bread. And here comes Jesus. And he says, I am the bread from heaven. We just don't recognize, my brothers and sisters, what all God has brought us unto in the person of his Son. And that's fine. It requires a miracle of God to realize this. And God knows this. That is why his Holy Spirit is so faithful, working behind the scenes, whether we see it, know it, or not. God is faithful. He's faithful to his Son. Even if we are faithless, he remains faithful. Praise God. The verse continues in John chapter 1. Here's verse 11. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him, because it requires a miracle of God to receive him. Remember, Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father draw him. And that wasn't like a one-time statement, you know, then. No, that's a forever statement in every generation. No man, no soul can come unto Jesus except God the Father draw that soul unto the person of his Son. Period. All right. The verse 12, look at this. I love this. Here is God's mercy. But as many as received him, that, my brothers and sisters, requires a miracle of God. I say brothers and sisters because the majority of what I share goes out to believers. So you who are born again, you are born again because God has had mercy upon your soul and birthed you of Christ. Christ is your life. Before, your soul had no life. Just like the children of Israel, you were dead among the dead. And God took the initiative. God stepped in, did what no man, you nor anyone else, could do. He's just that good and gracious and loving. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Basically, who believe that Jesus is it. Verse 13, it goes on. Look at this. I love this. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That's a miracle. New birth is a miracle, brothers and sisters. The knowledge of new birth is a miracle as well. So, if anything, let us just pray that the Spirit of God would take anything he desires to take from our reading of the scriptures, from our listening to Bible lessons, from our listening to Bible classes, from our listening to Bible conferences, Sunday sermons, et cetera, reading a book, that the Spirit of God would take that, use it to prepare the ground of our heart, to direct, guide, and bring our heart unto the person of his Son. For the one, if you're listening to this and you're not born again, for you who are not born again, to bring your soul unto the person of the Son in reality, to respond to the person, to the voice of life himself, that you may have life, that you may have salvation, that you may have God, that you may have all that God has ever offered in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, for us who are born again, that our heart may come in knowledge, brothers and sisters, from the knowledge of the natural mind, which is gross ignorance and darkness, unto the knowledge of God, the eternal mind, who is Christ Jesus, his Son. So, just with all that, we're going to end for this lesson. Please present all this to the Holy Spirit. Don't just start learning stuff and trying to learn stuff. Just take it easy. Present it to the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, do his job in our hearts. Amen. Let him use whatever he wants to use, however he wants to use it, whenever he wants to use it, for God's one end and God's one purpose. Lord bless. We'll see you in our next lesson. Amen.